Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Welcome back to the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies wrap-up podcast for episode 9. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Alistair Alley. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good episode. I feel like I should let you lead with that, because you dropped a high praise on Twitter about this episode.
Yeah, normally I would say high praise, but I think it's a pretty medium bar to clear for this season to say it was the best episode of the season. I don't think I was pretty much grabbed there, but I think it's got to be the best episode of the season. I mean, and even like higher praise, it really was one of the better episodes in a few seasons. Maybe just everything that led up to this one, but I really enjoyed myself start to finish, every single part of it.
I believe you said it was level one challenge.
Yeah, level one. I stand by it.
Yeah, it was a great episode. I did see that tweet before watching the episode. And it's not like it set the bar too high at all. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, you know, we've been waiting for the gameplay to play out. It wasn't just everyone choosing one person for a stupid reason. We saw sort of two factions in the house. How is this going to go? Something we used to talk about all the time that I feel like we haven't in a while is like, we never really know like who stands with whom. Mm-hmm. And we got a great scene of like every single person sort of laying out who they're aligned with and what their thinking is. Great use of the hour and a half. But that said, it stands in poor company with the rest of the episodes, right? So like, I do think like for new viewers of the challenge, like the challenge, every episode used to be like this.
Right. Well, not everyone, but like,
you know what I mean? But like, the idea is that every episode there's sort of intrigue and strategy. Sure. And we just haven't had that.
No, yeah, I would say like, if you were struggling with this season and you came away from this episode still not liking the challenge of your new viewer, then you might just not like the show, because this is probably I would say get out, pull the plug. Don't like, you know, there's another 40 seasons upcoming. Save yourself some time, because this is not as good as it gets, but this is like premier stuff, I would say.
Also, not normally something we talk about at the top of the show, but I've checked our 5-star reviews recently, and now this song has been stuck in my head all day, because we are knock, knock, knocking on 1,000's door. We have 991 ratings. So, you know, you don't like the show and you don't like us, get out. But a lot of you seem to like it, so thank you. We appreciate it. And, you know, this is huge. What a season. What an episode. What a season for us. Yeah,
so let's get to 1,000 by the end of the month. Can we do it, people?
I think we're going to get to 1,000 by next episode.
All right.
Because we jumped a lot this week. So I'm putting it out there. I'm manifesting it. And if we don't, we'll forget that we even said this.
Well, we can manifest it the way Corey tried to manifest all the alliances. He broke out the notepad. Very worried about that. Bad signs using notepads this season, but he broke out the notepad for this episode.
The memory on these players is like worse than us. Like, they would not forget how quickly someone got screwed by a note.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I guess in his mind that happened 3 seasons ago. They could bring out the pen and paper. Just don't get caught by a rookie, and then you're in good shape.
Yeah. Can you explain to me, before we go through all of, I feel like the meat of this, which is what you're getting to, of where everyone stands, Josh sort of goes, well, first of all, a question from Claire. Would you rather throw a bone into someone's plants or have something happen out of the clouds? A great Brianism from Tori at the top of the episode.
I appreciate it. Tori's rising in my ranks as we speak.
But Josh goes to Kyle, Ashley, and Amanda and says, like, starts this little rumor that Corey knew that I think it was kind of unclear, but later we find out that the issue is people think that Corey knew slash encouraged Priscilla to break up the vet alliance. Was this an intentional move from Josh? Did Josh really, it's not a lie if you believe it? Like, this sort of came out of the clouds for me.
Yeah, I don't think it was intentional, because I feel like Josh would be the type of person they'd be like, ooh, I created this lie to pin it on Corey. Look at me, the mastermind. Like, if he does anything mastermindy, he wants 1,000% credit, not just by the players, but by the confessionals, by the audience. He wants it all. So I think he probably just heard this rumor and passed it along as gospel. I was like, oh, Corey encourages from Priscilla. This is why we need to go after him. He's the ringleader. He's been against the Vet Alliance. Let's go after him.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to discredit Josh more than I need to, because I do think he would take credit for it in confessionals. But I also think, like, he got a bit of, like, a crumb of information from Corey saying, like, he knew it was going to happen. Stupid play by Corey, you know, to say that, give no context when he knows there's blood in the water. I think he's actually a person who said there's blood in the water. I don't think he might have said it. And I do think Josh, in like kind of a Big Brother play, takes that to the right people. Now, I think a lot of it comes from paranoia that he felt like he was going to be threatened, probably justifiably, as Priscilla's partner. But I think it was probably like 50% good gameplay, 50%, 51%, 49% paranoia, actual belief. But it really does end up like getting legs and it's almost like we see what would normally be an episode one level, like, we just need one reason, but it's happening in episode 300, whatever episode this is.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I'm sure, I think Corey kind of mentioned that they were looking for any reason to target him, and this was, whether it's a justified or not justified, I'm sure people were, some of the guys would jump on the chance of, oh, yeah, let's rally the troops, let's get Corey out. He's a fairly strong competitor. This is a perfect reason to get him out. Whether or not it's true or not, I don't care. I feel like that's something like Kyle would say, like, I don't care. I'm just going to get him out. So, yeah, I it's kind of like the perfect rumor on the perfect person.
All right, let's put our bucket hats on now, though, and go through the Corey's list. who's with who?
Yeah, so in Corey's mind, we got three groups. Not very, like, creatively named. We got Devin's crew, which consists of Devin, Kyle, CT, and Ed. Sorry, I don't know how Ed got tossed in there.
Good for Ed.
Yeah, good for
that's
him.
A good crew for Ed. I like that crew.
It's a great crew. The fact that Ed has a crew that's more than just him and his mirror is a great job by him. And then, of course, the Big Brother crew, which is Josh, Casey, Nani, and Emmanuel, just, I guess, because Emmanuel is with Casey. And then the very creatively named Corey's crew, which is Corey, Nelson, and apparently now Jeremiah.
TYB. the new Young Bucks. Yep. It's always going to be the Young Bucks. And then they're most concerned. And now they leave a lot of people out of this. I mean, like, Amanda, Ashley's not anywhere in this story. Right. Like, a lot of the veterans are not accounted for. The other rookies are not accounted for. But they seem focused on Logan. They're just not sure where Logan falls. We later find out in a conversation with Logan and Big T that his crew is somehow Josh, Devin, Big T, and Nani, which is really just, to me, shout out to Josh and Devin for making everyone in the house feel good about them, even if they're not in there. Like, Logan is not in Josh or Devin's crew.
Now, do you think, I'll give Josh and Devin credit for playing good social game, all that stuff, but you think it's also that Josh and Devin are probably the closest to final layups, assuming you get another strong person in there? They're looking like, oh, they have connections, but also we'll bring them to the end. We're in a good shape, where Josh and Devin know they have to bring it with each other to the end, and hopefully they get lucky with who the third team is, and then maybe they can do some damage. So maybe that plays a part of it as to why everyone wants to work with them.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. But I would say that Devin is probably selling that right? Like, yeah. Devin seems really focused on who he wants to see in a final and who he doesn't. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's going around to those people and saying, like, you want to go against me or you want to go against CT?
Yeah, and but that's a great selling point.
What Logan is sort of missing here and what everyone is missing is that Logan's target or targets are Corey and Nelson. Devin's target, if we believe what he's saying to Corey in a conversation this episode, he wants to target the winning veterans. And then he doubles down on it in the confessional, so mm-hmm. sort of no reason to lie there. And that's Ashley and later CT. But they focus on Ashley right now. And we got a lot of questions about this. And I'm sure you were thinking the same thing because you've been saying this all season. But Ross Welland says, why are Ashley and Amber being targeted as champions, but CT is skating by? What are the guys doing this season? And Stewart says, why, other than sexism, was Ashley targeted this episode over CT? I understand targeting winners, but CT has won more times and more recently than Ashley. Also, Emmy has proved herself as a competitor more times in elimination so far than Ed, makes them more a more dangerous team.
Yeah, I wish I could have an answer. I mean, I guess that it is coming down to CT just makes himself so damn likable that you can't just forget somehow that he's CT and everyone's just like, oh, I want to be buddy buddy with him and just hang out with him. And people just forget that if he gets close to a final, he's going to win and you're all going to look like idiots again. Like, I love Ashley, but you could beat Ashley in a final if she gets to the end. You could beat Amber in a final if she gets to the end. You're not going to beat CT. CT's going to win. And I really thought this was going to be Devin's time. It was like, we have to get one of the champs. We have Ashley a champ. CT is a champ. But CT, obviously, we have to get him out. This is the time to go do it. And somehow, that was the only time he was mentioned. In this little brief moment, he slipped right on by again.
I don't even think it's necessarily CT's likability, although it certainly helps, right? Like, CT has more friends than Ashley. Ashley has one friend, and that's Amanda. Right. I think a
good
lot
friend.
Of it...
She's a good friend. She's a ride or die.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I would take one Amanda over every other friend in the house, yeah. But, you know, in terms of votes, CT definitely has more allies on his side. But I think throwing CT in, when you turn on CT, you know, to borrow a popular phrase, if you come for the king, you best not miss. And with Fessy gone, right, mm-hmm. who's going to take CT out? And I think they have to really know the right person's in power, the entire house is on board, and they've got someone who's going to beat CT. Ashley, Amber, more beatable in elimination as we see tonight, and less likely to win a daily than CT. I'm sorry, like, you know, yeah. Like CT and Emmy are more likely to survive, come back, and hit you 10 times harder. So I just think it's like a more risky decision, but they should be basically doing what they've done in past seasons and taking a shot at him every single mm-hmm. time until he goes home.
Yeah, especially because obviously now going forward, this may change. But with the paired eliminations, a lot of them, you really do need like both of them to work very well together. Obviously, there seemingly is like a puzzle component at the end of each of them, which obviously would favor CT. But the fact that you do need both pairs to work together, and not to say Emmy's bad or would hold CT down or anything, but it's not just CT doing it. Whereas now maybe you start to get to an individual game and they've really boxed themselves into a corner. But in all these, like this one with the balancing, like you really need a good communication, good partnership working together to pull this one off. And maybe he would have failed at this one. There's other ones similar. So while you know what the concept of eliminations are, it's like you said, just toss him in every time. And I feel like one of these, something's going to go wrong for him.
I mean, look, he lost to Jay, right? Like, and that's mm-hmm. not an insult to Jay. That's sort of like an any given Sunday kind of thing. I do think I can remember three of the last eliminations. I don't think Emmy or CT, I mean, I know CT wasn't with Emmy, but Burna and CT or Emmy and CT would have lost any of them. Of course, anyone could win any time. A lot of this elimination, we'll talk about it later, to me would have benefited from somebody like a Bananas or a CT or a Wes mm-hmm. who are like the veterans of the game, who know how these things work, who can quickly figure it out and move. Mm-hmm. And I think CT would have beasted this, but it's still worth the shot because you have a 0% chance of beating him in the final as you've laid out. And even if there's a 5% chance he gets eliminated, as long as you're not the person facing him in elimination, take the shot. He can't come back and be pissed at everyone.
Yeah. I also liked, going back to the Logan stuff, that you really see in the form a really good bond with Big T that Big T respected. Like, he's actually also looking out for me because Logan plays like, oh, I want to go after Corey Nelson because they're going to be coming after you because they don't want to run a final with you. So Logan does a really good job of whoever he's talking to in that moment, really getting on their good side and speaking to what they want and putting to their need. Like, he's been very impressive lately.
Is he an international Survivor person?
So he's from Romania. I think he's Survivor Romania. I think that's where he came from.
Well, if he's not, he should be. It definitely shows. He definitely plays a great social and strategic game. I totally agree. I also love the edit. I mean, it's that they left this in the edit where Nelson comes by and it's like, don't keep her out too late. I trust you. Right. As Logan's like, I got to slit Nelson's throat. Like, it was just such a good, just a good scene. It was like, it was very delicious.
It says Survivor Spain. Is this right?
I was going to say, I think it's from Spain.
Yeah, that's Emmanuel. That's Romania. I mixed up my aftermath people. So yeah, he's a survivor, but he was a survivor, so there you go.
So Rennie Stan says, is it at all surprising that Nelson and Corey's side didn't team up with Ashley and Amanda to get the Big Brother alliance in elimination? I thought they were all friends. Like, I wasn't clear that there were these three sides in the veteran alliance.
No, neither was I. This was all very new. I mean, we weren't sure what any of the sides were other than the Big Brother side, or not even the side, just that little circle. We weren't sure where they stretched to. But yeah, I was surprised Corey Nelson didn't have more numbers behind them, especially with Amanda, Ashley. I thought there would have been more people to support it. But I mean, I think the Big Brother crew was a little more convincing in how they were able to rally the outer side troops.
I think what Corey's getting hosed by here is the Josh and Devin connection, because right, we're getting these crews based on Corey's perspective, but we know that Devin and Corey are have like Josh and Devin have come in to like work together, and while Corey and Devin also have sort of a loose working relationship, I think the Devin crew and the Josh crew end up on the same side here, and that's why Corey gets screwed. I also don't want to discredit like how much they're affected by the fact that Nelson chose Berna over Ashley, right? If Ashley and Nelson still had their thing, now Nelson and Amanda and Nelson and Ashley have real life friendships, but it seems like Nelson sort of like sloppily drew a line in the sand between him and Ashley, and that kind of hoses Corey and Nelson.
Yeah, the Young Bucks, their social games, they leave a lot to be desired in most seasons.
Weird question, but speaking of the aftermath, how is Corey allowed on the aftermath but not allowed in the reunion?
It's a great question. Wonder how long ago these were filmed. Were they filmed, these aftermaths filmed longer ago before
No, they address Amanda and Fessy's Instagram post.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I guess smaller people going to be around there, so it impacts the vaccine protocol. I don't know. It's a wild decision.
Yeah. No live audience. You know, I don't know what the how many people are going to be at the reunion, but I was like, seems a little inconsistent.
Yeah, unless maybe now it's going to change. But I guess he's officially not going to be at the reunion, so I don't know. I don't know. MTV's weird.
Knock, knock, knocking on 1,000 stores. It's like literally all day, and I have to live with myself. Okay. Anyway. Oh, we didn't talk. I meant to talk. We hung out yesterday. We didn't discuss that.
Yeah, we did. It was fun.
That's it.
Another fan. Shout out Jimmy.
I was going to see. Why do you say fan?
Because he said I'm a fan.
I know. He said fan, and I was like, don't say fan. But,
Friends? I was calling my friend.
Yeah, you left. Jimmy and I continued to talk shit that night. It was great. So shout out to Jimmy. But yeah, it was very fun because digital communications manager Megan Elizabeth checked in when we were recording. So I sent her a video of you being like, yep, 10 o'clock.
Look at us hanging out now 5 times, I think, last year. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Listen, don't get carried away. I only went because your wife was there. All right.
We're best friends, just like Ed and Amara.
Imagine a worse nightmare for you. First Plainview Sue, then Emily Cohen.
I do want to give us, not joking, but I do want to give us credit about this Ed thing, because we were on this pretty quickly, and they're tossing him in to the most random scenes. Like, what was the point of him talking to himself in the mirror? Like, it was Ed and nothing. They never came back. He was just talking nonsense. they must be his favorite person of all time, that they're just including him in these scenes.
Okay, Jacob Jones, if you're out there, this is the epitome of the if you hate something but you choose to like it, you can like it, Mitch Watch element of like, my eyes rolled so far back in my head that they were lodged there and I had to go to urgent care to get them out watching this scene. I was just like, the only thing more cringe than Mitch like doing this obviously scripted scene in front of like a bored cameraman when nothing was going on. And I don't mean scripted. I mean, like, he was like, well, I got this great bit. Like, look, focus on me for a second. Like, whatever is like Nelson's confessional. I think Nelson's confessionals mm-hmm. have been the most like non-genuine things in the world. And like, he's got a like in the way that Kyle is definitely rehearsed. It's still entertaining. Nelson's rehearsals. He needs to do like 2-a-days on his rehearsals and get better.
For nearly 4 decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly 4 decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Anyway, back to Ed. I hated this scene so much, but if instead I just choose to like mm-hmm. it, then look at the goober Ed who's bored as hell in the house and doesn't want to play the game.
And he's in a great alliance. He's in a great foursome. Him, CT, Kyle, Devin. It's a great situation for Ed. That's why he just talked to him, Mary. He's like, I don't have to do anything. I just get put into great alliances.
Yeah, I mean, talk about being likable and benefiting from that. Mm-hmm. I think that's... For sure, Ed. Yeah, I'm sure the drinking game count has been like bing, 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 bing during mm-hmm. this scene.
And we get a little bit more for Amber B, feeling alone, but she has Jeremiah.
We didn't next. Really
get, yeah, we didn't get much from Jeremiah. So
can I just next scenes? Next.
Swipe left.
Just let's get to the daily.
Get to the daily. Bombshell battle.
That was my nickname in high school.
There you go.
Stole that from Rhett and Link. Shout out to Rhett and Link.
So it was done in 3 rounds. Each pair has to run down and collect. There's a total of four balls, run them back up a mud pit, and then a silver ball at the center. 5 in the first round, 3 in the second round, 1 in the last round, and whoever doesn't collect the one is eliminated. Last one standing wins. And very fun challenge.
Okay. Agreed. One group, everyone participating together. Love that. Didn't have to watch it 80 times. Why was this 3 rounds? Like, why are we still getting multiple? The first round wasn't sufficient. You want to eliminate and have them do the same thing. Why are they doing the same damn thing 3 times? I still liked the challenge, but I was just like, can we do one challenge where everyone can participate and we don't have to watch the same activity 50 times?
I actually thought 3 rounds was perfect, and it did set it. I don't know if this was their game plan, but it did set up very well for how it played out with the final 3 cutting a deal, and maybe that would have led to backstabbing or something like that. But it added strategy at the end, because if there's 5 people at the end, I can't cut a deal with like that many people. But when it's like 3 people at the end, it does offer situations of you lend me at this, I'll save you, and then maybe they won't follow through. So I actually didn't mind it being three rounds. I thought the rounds moved pretty quickly. I thought they were pretty interesting stuff within each round. We obviously had Corey and Josh blowing up each other. We had some interesting dynamics with who was working with who. So I actually didn't mind the three rounds. I thought three rounds worked pretty well.
You're right in that it worked. Like, I still like this challenge, and I think they're lucky that, like, the way things happened, especially like Corey throwing the ball to Chip, you know, like certain things did happen that didn't have to happen that made it interesting. But I'm just like, I just want a challenge that can be completed without heats, rounds, advance. Like, mm-hmm. I just want a straightforward challenge, not in place of this one, mm-hmm. in place of probably all of the other challenges that have happened.
Right. No, that's totally fair too. Hopefully we get that with a smaller amount of teams. It might be easier
with the Josh and Corey fight. I mean, this has happened before. Was it Zach throwing it to Wes? Was it Leroy throwing it to Wes? It was someone working with Wes.
Yeah, it was someone. It was Wes. Wes threw it to someone, right? Wes threw it to someone.
I thought it was Zach and Wes.
It was definitely Zach. I think it was Zach and Wes. Yeah, it was Zach and Wes.
It was like Zach outing to Bananas that he might be working with Wes.
Yeah, it was Zach and Wes.
Sorry to Leroy to drag you into this.
Leroy would never.
Leroy would. Leroy has certainly worked with us, but Leroy should. Classic Josh attitude here of like, people should be letting me have this ball. Like, of course, like, that's the issue. Like, people I've worked with are like sitting on me and not letting me just win. Like, bro, that's not what this game is. Mm-hmm. Also, Kyle throws the ball to Ed. Like, why is that not as frowned upon? Because Ed is just better integrated into their main alliance than Jeremiah. To me, this is like exactly what we said earlier. It's just convenient. Mm-hmm. They're jumping on to something that Corey did that everybody else has done and would do because it suits the narrative to then go after him.
Yeah, that was more stunning that why, and especially for Corey, like, you would think Corey would be more perceptive of bringing that up. Like, if you're coming at me for working with Jeremiah, like, it just happened with Kyle and Ed. How is that not a topic of discussion? And why aren't we jumping on Kyle? Especially because Kyle also has that similar reputation of being snaky and doing what he needs to do for himself. And I thought Kyle was pretty low on the totem pole amongst the vets. I guess he somehow worked his way up. But I would have thought that 100% would have come back and blown up in Kyle's face because there seemingly was no rhyme or reason. But now we know Kyle and Ed are in that, you know, the Devin crew alliance. So it makes sense.
More shocking than anything, a question from Caitlin G. Did you ever think you'd see the day where Nelson was the voice of reason in the Young Bucks or Team Young Buck? Like, Corey goes off and Nelson's getting his manufactured confessional saying, like, you need to calm down. You're already getting heat. You don't need to be doing this. Like, I thought this was a really bad episode for Corey. And if Nelson's telling you it's bad, it's really bad.
Yeah, Nelson's come a long way from like jumping into someone else's fights like he did with I think he got himself kicked out for fighting with Derek a few seasons ago. So at least he's learned his lesson from that and is trying to keep the peace and calm things down. And Nelson's like his confessionals maybe a little weird, but he's playing probably his like one of his better strategic games because he's kind of like off people's radars. He's not forming the best bonds, but he's like off people's radars at this point, which is a good spot for him to be in.
Yeah, aside from I do think the way he handled the Ashley situation, not even just from a moral perspective, but from a game perspective, I think he blew that. But I agree for Nelson game, it's a stronger one than usual. Mm-hmm. And as Corey points out in the after show, he's playing more for himself than for Corey this episode, not this season. Not that he's like dogging Corey, but I definitely think he's. Yep. Wouldn't make the same decision about going in for him as he did last time.
He did it once, not doing it again. He laid himself down once.
All right. So we have Casey and Emmanuel, Logan and Nani. Is this my first day? Nani, Devin and Amber, Ashley and Ed, and Big T and Nelson in advance. Casey starts throwing Nani's balls for her to help her. This fascinated me. I mean, Nani later says on the after show that more than just Casey was helping her, but I feel like we didn't really see this as much from like Cam and Leroy. And it's an interesting part about being in a same-sex relationship on the challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, it was definitely timed so that like the balls were alternating so only people of the same gender would get into physical conflict. Yeah. But like when you're dating a woman and you're in the same heat, she can help you a lot more than if you were dating a dude who's like by his stack doing nothing.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Other than like the two teams maybe forming together, but their partners aren't as close, so they might be more hesitant to do something like that. But here they openly, I mean, they're both in the round together. They can both help each other do whatever they need to do. Yeah. And I think Nani said she was getting help from a lot of places, and so was Logan. So I think they're both pretty well situated socially.
I know it ends up not mattering because Amber goes out here, but again, we see a kind of a strange thing. I hope at the reunion we learn or we unpack where Casey and Amber stand. It seems like from social media that Amber's good with Fessy now, so maybe that bleeds into sort of all of the Big Brother alliance. But Casey and Amber lock up here with Big T for the last bomb of the round. And Casey and Amber are so distracted by fighting each other that Big T gets not to discredit CT, mm-hmm. Big T, mm-hmm. but I do think Casey and Amber like got personal and yeah. therefore both lost. Caitlin says, what is up with Casey's irrational hatred of Amber B? Take the ally. You don't have to be best friends to work together. Wouldn't Amber advancing be better for Casey than Big T?
I wish we could get a real conversation with Casey and her to explain herself. Like, is it a jealousy thing that she felt, you know, she hated to see Amber win when she thought she dominated the season last season? Is it just jealousy? Is she trying to avenge Fessy because she feels maybe Fessy was sent home because of the dynamic and fight with that was sparked by Amber? What is there that she can't just let go of? Like, Amber so desperately wants to let go of this and work together in case he just won't do it. And I don't know what the logical reasoning is, because there is no logical reason, because the logical reasoning would be to let it go and move on, and she just won't do it. So there has to be, like, there's a personal thing there, and it's either tied to the result from last season, avenging Fessy, or maybe she just isn't, like, Amber doesn't seem likable, so it could just be that.
Look, now, people who live in glass grudges shouldn't throw stones. So far be it from me to be like, Casey really has to let this go. But I just don't understand, game-wise or personally, what's going on here. Although, this was Amber, ironically, on her last episode, I think her worst edit. She, to me, I was starting to see why people are annoyed by her this episode.
I didn't pick up on Tuma. What did you pick up on that people noticed?
It was so woe is me. Like, someone texted me who was watching the episode, like, did you know that Amber was a champion? Like, and Ashley does the same thing. And it's just as annoying of like, you know, to me later in the episode, Amber's going on and on about how, like, I'm a champion and everyone wants to target me and no one hangs out with me. No one talks to me. And it's just because I'm a champion and I'm such a threat. And I can't believe what a threat I am because I'm a champion. And I'm like, nobody has even said your name. And then right on schedule, like, Corey and Bettina are like, we want to put in Amber. So, like, it ends up being justified, but it is, like, a little grating. And if we're only seeing, like, a segment of it and this is all she talks about, I could see how it's annoying.
Yeah, and
it's still not annoying where I throw my game away over it.
Right. It could just be one of those, like, self-fulfilling prophecies where she's like, I'm a threat, no one's going to talk to me, and she keeps talking about that so much that no one wants to talk to her, and then because no one's talking to her, they want to just come for her, and then they remember, oh, she actually is kind of a threat, let's just vote her out. So, CT's, I'm getting time to go back to CT, but CT's obviously a huge threat, but he's not stomping around talking about how many times he's won, and again, maybe people forget about it, I don't know, but there's a way to go about it where you could be a champ and be a threat and not bring it up all the time and say, oh, no one's talking to me.
And look, Amber gets undercut at every turn by this group, and she doesn't deserve it. So, like, if she needs to be puffing her chest to, like, remind people that she's worthy of respect, like, that's not her fault. That's, like, their fault. And I think later they do something similar to Priscilla, which makes me irate. So I shouldn't be dogging her for it. But I'm just, like, if this episode was, like, a fraction of what is happening in the house, I can, like, maybe more understand it. And I do think it's a double standard that people don't apply to CT, but they apply to Amber and Ashley. And, you know, Stuart said that in his question. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's all totally fair.
Knock, knock, knock. Okay, I'm going to stop doing that. Okay. oh, my God. I'm all over the place with my notes. We're in the challenge. I was so crazy. Okay. But so we get to the last round, right? And yeah. It's Ed, Ashley, Nani and Logan, and Big T and Nelson. Who would have thought You know, you made me cast a bet right now.
What a trio. Or a trio of teams, Sixer. I also kind of, I still don't, I still can't, I know it's, I can't be the only one, but I still can't always remember who's on whose team with all the, I like going into this, like, oh, Nelson and Big C are together. I didn't realize that they were a team. Ashley and Ed, I finally kind of remember that they're a team, and it's just very tough to remember who, it's easier to remember who's working with who than who's literally working with who.
Interesting. That's very true. And we've complained about that, or I've complained about it, that like when you constantly shuffle people around, you don't have that sort of buy-in from the audience.
Yeah. Like part of me thought Logan going into this episode with the way they were talking was Logan was paired with Big T. And I was like, oh, no, actually, he's with Nani. Never mind.
Well, he's paired with her in his way.
In spirit.
Ayo.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think Logan, again, the survivor element shows here when he's like, you can fight me and then maybe you won't be safe, but you could give it to me and you'll be safe. Fight me, maybe not. Like, that was powerful and it works, yeah. Right? And I think Nelson does make the right choice here because Ed had already given up. So it's kind of funny that Nelson made like such a big show of like demolishing Ed here because Ed was the first person on board to take the deal. Nelson, who had the most to lose probably by taking the deal, not realizing that Logan was literally gunning for him and his best friend. I don't think there was a chance Nelson was going to be able to get out of this with a win. So I think he ultimately makes the right call. What do you think?
Yeah, it's probably the right call. But the one risk is like Logan, I mean, he could promise safety all he wants, but I mean, he only controls half the vote, like one of the votes. So he could say, oh, I'm not going to vote you in. They could say what they want. They don't control the House vote. Like this week, yeah, Nelson wasn't really a target. It was Corey and Ashley were the two targets. But if this comes up again, the agency only controls their side of the vote. So, you know, he could promise safety whoever he wants. If the House wants to turn on someone, you know, they're going to turn on someone. So it was still very much a risk for Nelson to do this. But I do agree in the moment, it is worth it to take it.
I think at that point, Nelson probably had a good understanding the House vote was going to be Corey. So I think he says later in the after show, Corey says, like, Nelson picked himself over me, which is good. So, like, Nelson's primary motivation is probably to avoid being the agency pick. So when Logan makes that promise to him, I think he's getting everything he needs from it. I think your partner factors in to the vote in, mm-hmm. while the... We've seen in the past the veterans question Big T. I feel like Big T's name hasn't really come up at all. None of the rookies are going to want to put in Big T. And to your point about who they want to see in a final, Big T is sort of up there for at least the women. So mm-hmm. I didn't think he was in any real danger of being the House vote. And he was. Logan says, my mm-hmm. plan was to Corey to be the House vote, and then I was going to put in Nelson. So here, like, hindsight being 20/20, he made the absolute right call.
Yeah, and it's true. If he thought Corey was going to go in, like this has happened before, I think a couple times that Nelson and Corey have been pitted against each other in elimination. So if he's thinking, yeah, Corey's going in, my likelihood of being the agency vote shoots up. So yeah, all that considered, he definitely made the right decision. Especially because, yeah, like you said, he also wasn't like controlling this one. Nelson had the ball at the time, you know, seemed to be in a good position to win anyway. So not that Nelson couldn't have overpowered him, tried to win, but it's better to take the safety route.
When I tell you I cackled watching Josh tell Ashley not to panic, like the two most overreactive, paranoid people who always think it's them when it's never them, getting into it about it, I couldn't handle it. My TV actually exploded. I had to get a new one. It was literally killing me.
And the best is Amanda, who's dealt with both of them, just sitting there like, I'm not going to react because I know I've seen Ashley do this song and dance 1,000 times. And if it was the other day, I would have seen Josh do this song and dance 1,000 times. So this is just commonplace. Ashley melting down, whatever. Who wants a drink?
Speaking of drinking, they go out and we have this conversation between Nani and Priscilla. What do you think of Nani in power? Nani was like, she needed a pinky ring in this moment to me. I feel like she really was feeling herself.
Yeah, I loved it. And honestly, I mean, this is to date the biggest one to win. This is the first one where there was actually decisions to be made amongst the agency. And Nani's interesting. In my challenge rewatch, I kind of forget that Nani, first of all, was like a better competitor than I even had in mind. But she was also like a cutthroat player, a strategist, was willing to make big moves and would be willing to take chances. And it's not surprising to see her come in here and be like, I want to do something with this power. We have this power. It's an opportunity. I want to do something with it and not just do what the house wants me to do or do an easy thing just to get by. So it was not surprising to see her wanting to kind of grab the reins a little bit and make the most of her power here.
It's really crazy that, like, yeah, like you're saying, we needed like the new people to come in and give her that respect that we have forgotten about. Like, I feel like all of the rookies from Huey to who was the first person to pick her? Gabo. Remember Gabo? Like, oh, Priscilla here, like, have so much respect for Nani that I feel like we as the audience and as you and me as individuals have just not had. So shout out to Nani for like living in her power this season.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And it's been very fun to see a rejuvenation of Nani, which has been fun.
And she's spot on here. She's like, Priscilla, I would have done the same damn thing. I have bigger fish to fry. I mean, she says I have bigger fish to fry to the confessional, which is the exact right place to say that. Smart. The person who came into power and went after Priscilla would be wasting their damn time and power. So I was really, really happy when I saw this. And maybe it's, I don't know how much of it is Josh, although again, she could have just put in Priscilla without, she could have put in Priscilla and Jeremiah. But mm-hmm. I was really impressed with the way she played this.
Yeah, and picking up an ally that's, you know, pretty strong competitor, could easily find herself in a position of power at some point. And now Priscilla would, sees that Nani's good to her word and might return the favor later on. So A plus all around here to have that conversation. Priscilla was, I thought, pretty believable in the moment. Priscilla didn't fully believe it, but maybe now seeing how the vote played out would fully believe it going forward. So it really puts Nani in a good spot.
The last conversation they have before the deliberation is Devin trying to convince CT to vote for to vote for Ashley. And then we have Ashley, Tori, and CT telling Devin Priscilla's move. Not only did Corey know about it, but he orchestrated it. I love Devin's rationale of like what Devin's really thinking is Corey's an ally for me and I want all of the winners out, including you, CT. But what he says to CT is Corey will never win because he's with Bettina. Your mileage may vary on blaming Bettina, but Corey is unlikely to be in the agency. Let's get Ashley out now. I think CT is digging his heels in, and that's the right move for him, right? Corey is certainly the right move for CT. Keep more veteran winners in the house. Are you surprised that Devin ultimately stands down? Because it's like their interests are not aligned, right? It's in Devin's best interest to get Ashley out of the house. It's in CT's best interest to get Corey out. And Devin folds. I'm not used to seeing Devin fold.
So he basically comes away with it being like, I want to hear what they all have to say at the nomination. I want to like have this all sussed out. So how open do you think this vote was coming in? Because we can go through the votes, but like it was pretty, there was only a few people that voted with Corey. It was, you know, him, Nelson, and there was one, I'll have to look up, one other team that was very much with Corey, and everyone else voted against him. So I would have to believe that it wasn't as open going into this nomination as Devin or the show made it out to be.
Devin is so full of shit, I'm surprised he can think straight. Like when Priscilla delivers the most calm, cool, collected, that was my move, Corey had nothing to do with it, he wasn't aware of it. And Devin goes to confessional, well, that's all I need, she's a huge liar. Bullshit, Devin. Mm-hmm. You could not sway your alliance to make a move that was in your best interest. So now you're going to the confessional saying, oh, well, Corey betrayed us, so now he's going to get voted out. You blew it. That's on you. He didn't have the votes. Because as you were saying, Amber, Jeremiah, Bettina, Nelson, Corey, and Priscilla were the only votes for Ashley and Ed. Every other person voted for Nelson and Corey in my dreams. Corey and Bettina. He didn't have the authority. Devin likes to act like he has the numbers. He's in the power position. He can manipulate everyone. He failed to do so and then blamed Priscilla. And you could tell I'm pissed. I was pissed. I will remain pissed.
Yeah, it makes complete sense for Devin to back down. And I think for Devin, it makes complete sense to kind of make it seem like it was his decision to not back down, like to go like thinking, oh, like I'm swaying, because Devin's only agency in this game is people thinking he's a mastermind and a strategist that could rally troops. And if he's now caving to be like, oh, actually, I tried the rally and it failed and I really don't have much power, I think people don't see Devin as much of an ally anymore, because what good is he if he can't even rally the troops when he wants to rally the troops? But if he says, oh, I'm actually doing this because I want to, at least it keeps up whatever facade he's trying to maintain, that he is this mastermind and strategist and you should work with him because he could save you and rally the troops if it's, you know, in mutual best interest.
I'm still pissed. I'm sorry.
All fair. Be pissed. But and Priscilla should be pissed. I'm glad she set up for herself. Like, fuck no. This is my call. I don't want anyone thinking about anything otherwise. I did this and I would do it again.
It is really crazy to have seen them all sort of develop this theory on their own, which is just, I'm sorry, they're just undermining Priscilla's authority, like, and her ability. Like, oh, because Corey, even if Corey was aware of it, which he later says, like, I learned this at elimination, so I knew it 30 seconds before everyone else knew it. Still stupid for Corey to say that, but whatever. Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, I mean, he also said he only knew Jeremiah's pick, right? Then he's just saying Jeremiah told me. I don't think he even said Priscilla, but yeah, why admit to even partial truth? Because then people are just going to speculate from there.
But that everybody then was so quick to say this woman was never going to think of this herself. Corey, who has never been, as you said, the strategic game leaves a lot to be desired, was somehow this mastermind of this master plan, is so frustrating. We know the truth, Priscilla. The audience sees. I'm glad the edit made it extremely clear. So fine. But let's get into the real war between Corey and Ashley. All Corey has, I mean, Corey starts out strong. 9 seasons. I've never done a sneaky deal. I've never played dirty. That's all I have. I'm trustworthy. And then not Corey bringing up stealing the $500,000. I'm going to ask you, Brian, sadly, to set this up for any new listeners, because unfortunately, we still have to talk about this. This is our most asked question, I want to say, of the season. I pulled Maura's question, but literally 10 people asked us about this. I'm so sick of everyone using the excuse of Ashley taking the money from her horrible partner to call her a shady player. When has she ever played a dirty game? Starting to lose a lot of respect for Corey after that deliberation. So, Brian, please remind us of what happened with Ashley.
So, I believe it was during Vendettas. I believe it was the season. She was partnered with iconic member of the Young Buck and person who named his child after me, Hunter.
Hunter Bryan. And there's a real throwback for you.
During that season, he was absolutely horrific to Ashley. Everything she said in like her speech about why she was stealing the money was accurate. He belittled her, threatened her family, was just so mean to her. It was just an abusive partner to like the nth degree, that when it came to the final challenge, similar to how Bananas was able to take the money from Sarah, within the final challenge, there was different checkpoints, and whichever of the partners performed better at each checkpoint would get to choose if they want to split the winnings with their partner or keep it for themselves. And Ashley iconically chooses to keep the money for herself and walk off with $1 million.
I am so happy that the edit showed her being like, you abused me, threatened my fam, like all the rationale. No one has ever once brought up Bananas and Sarah. Like, no one has ever thrown that in Bananas' face.
Well, it was a curse for a while. But yeah.
But it wasn't thrown in his face. It's like Jemmy tweeting, like, you're cursed. You know, like, that's not exactly the same. This has been used and weaponized against Ashley 1,000 times. Scally tweeted about this from the Dom and Colin podcast / from my future roommate. But he was like, remember when Nelson like apologized to Ashley and was like, I will not use this again. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, and then here they are. All they have is this. Thank you for, I think, Devin, who's like, if this is what, or CT.
Yeah, CT. So, yeah.
CT says, like, if you're bringing this up from like seasons ago, like you've got nothing. It ranks so hollow. It was so pathetic. This is the most down I've been on Corey. Like, yeah. Worse than the anti-vax. Like, I'm like so upset about this.
And I like MTV is usually so good at flashing back to people contradicting themselves or going back to other seasons, other moments. This was last reunion, so it wouldn't even be that far of a flashback to pull it in. And it was like a huge scene. It was a huge topic at the reunion. It was like an entire scene of this dynamic of people of actually breaking down and being like, no one trusts me. I'm trying to like rebuild trust. Please, someone trust me. And Nelson saying that exactly what you said. I'm going to let this go. Like, I really wish they would sort of splice that in here. Just even more so call out Nelson and Corey that they both admit it. Okay, we're going to move past this. And then the first time their backs are against the wall and the first time they have Ashley in a corner, this is what they jump to. So and it's great that it blows up in their face. So maybe this will be the last time they do it because it didn't work. And CT, rightfully, I mean, he was only a confessional, but he called him out. Would have been better if he called him out in person. But that's why CT is doing what he's doing, because he's smartly doing it in confessionals. But yeah, hopefully now this is the last time it does, because it didn't work.
I mean, we do have Devin sort of redirect the conversation to be like, your personal attacks aren't going to actually sway anyone, so let's move on. But let's actually, what's hard is I do actually think Corey and Ashley are pretty clean, straightforward game players. And so they're pitted against each other by the house, and they're trying, I think, instead of attacking each other, they should be like promoting what would be good about them staying, or at this point, honestly, give up because the vote's seemingly already decided. But mm-hmm. to have them both, again, to what I, from my very like walnut sized brain memory, play pretty straightforward games. I think Ashley's shadiness comes from maybe the fact that like every season she has to have new best friends, because like a lot of her really close allies were gone for a long time. Amanda's now back, but she wasn't on. You know, she used to have the Lavender Ladies. She did multiple seasons where she was just sort of like on an island of one, and she will sort of be friends with anyone who wants to be friends with her. That's not a dirty game. That's just being adaptable, right?
Yeah.
But I guess it could seem a little not genuine, maybe, if I'm having to go there.
Yeah, I would have struggled to. It's really like, you know, really pulling teeth, or not pulling, I think, I can't think of the expression, but it's really tough to find where Ashley's dirtiness in the game come from, because it doesn't come from much.
You'd have to pull it out of the clouds.
You have to pull it out of the clouds to find it. And Corey, the only thing he's shady with is like when he would, like, you know, date seven different women in one season and they were all, you know, conspire against him the next season. Like, that was the only thing he would do that was shady.
Not that.
But if there's anything else, he usually does it pretty straightforward. And another knock on Corey is there was a large chunk of time where he was out super early, multiple times, so he didn't even have chances to be snaky. But coming for Corey.
Oh, the only time I wish this was a video podcast, I'm over here sweating from the heat.
But yeah, other than that, they are
under
both
that shade. Wow.
So at this point, though, going into this nomination, obviously for Ashley, there's probably not much outside.
Just move right along. No problem. But nothing to see here.
Could there have been any thought for Corey and Ashley to like turn their guns down and be like, let's work together, point our guns at someone else, and figure this out? Obviously for Ashley, it works out. She's not voted in. And for Corey, it would pay off because he was voted in. But was there something there where they could find a new target to go after?
I think at this point, it's like not as... While we're watching the show and we think it's really sort of anyone's game, maybe. But I do think, like, you know, obviously seeing where the votes fell and then even just like looking at my notes, Ashley was fine. She was sitting pretty. And I think that's why she doesn't really like get pressed here. It's really Corey. So there's no incentive to me for Ashley to work with Nelson, who betrayed her, and Corey, who's the obvious target, against what is her majority alliance.
Mm-hmm. Should Corey have offered someone a $500 gift card for their vote? Would that have helped?
Now, is it like an Amex cash, like a Visa cash gift card, or am I like locked into the Olive Garden?
Maybe it's part of like the Burger King all you can eat package. Elenco goes there. I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't a gift card at all. We should say that. No gift card was exchanged, apparently.
It was only baby gifts.
It was crazy also, Nelson saying that, like, what debt is owed to Amanda? And I love that they gave Ashley the confessional of like, okay, so Amanda sacrificed her game for Ashley. Ashley wins, does not offer a cash prize to Amanda for doing so.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson ruins his game for Corey. Corey goes on to not win. Still, nothing is paid to Nelson. Like, nope. They did the exact same thing.
I wonder if like they gave like it came up with the aftermath, and Ashley was able to say like Amanda was able to say it. It never happened. And in the back of my head, I was like, I know in Survivor, you're strictly not allowed to share money. And if it came out that Ashley was like even 500, I don't know what the rule is, but it's just, and all sharing money. Like, would that have come back on Ashley? Like, could she have been like penalized for that? So I don't know if that's why they gave her the chance to like know that actually didn't happen. She just bought like baby gifts. But in the back of my head, I was like, is there like a legal ramification to this too?
So I think my thought would be, and this is, I want to say Rob has maybe talked about this, like, you can't agree to split the money. Like, if you vote for me, I'll give you the money. Like, we're going to collude and split it. But I think if, like, after the game, you want to give someone a gift, you're allowed to do that.
Okay.
Like, there was no world where Amanda went into an elimination because Ashley said, I'll give you $250,000. We'll split the prize.
Right. Got it. That makes sense.
But who effing cares? This was the dumbest thing in the world. It was such a bad look for Nelson and Corey. And Corey, my guy... Ooh, I'm worried about you.
Yeah, no, not great. The vote does not go his way at all. There was only six people that voted with him, and he and his partner were two of them, so only four people, and one of them was Nelson. So he did not rally many troops to his side.
The one time I was on Corey's side this episode is in the confrontation between Corey and Kyle. Like, Corey's already down. They have a big confrontation. To me, Kyle completely comes at Corey and escalates it at a level like 10 times more aggressive than Corey is. Like, he goes to like, shut up, shut up, shut up. And Corey to me is like keeping his cool this whole time.
Yeah, and honestly, if I was Corey, I would be super pissed too. If you just got out of a heated argument where it was a heated nomination, where it was basically like, who do you believe more? And that's who you're going to vote in. They all voted in Corey, and then you got Kyle coming out like, oh, I don't believe anything Ashley says. If I was Corey, I'd be like, what the heck? We just did this, and why you didn't vote for me? Like, if you truly don't believe anything Ashley says, you should have just voted her in. I would have been just as pissed, too, because it seemed like this happened pretty soon after the nomination, so I'm sure tensions were still pretty high. So, yeah, I would have been just as pissed as Corey was in that moment.
And it's classic Kyle of like, I did vote for you. And then it's immediately like, well, shut up, shut up. I was like, all right.
He said, I didn't vote for you. And Corey's like, no, I don't believe you.
Well, he said, why did you vote the way you did? And he said, I didn't. So I thought he was saying, well, then why'd you vote for me? And Corey was like, I didn't. Kyle was like, I didn't. But at that point, I think some people are still trying to save face with Corey. Because he ends up winning. Spoiler alert. We go to the lair. Jeremiah and Amber get sent in. I was a little weirded out by Logan and Nani's rationale. Logan's rationale to be sending in a couple is so dumb when he's in a couple with Big T. And Nani saying, well, you're a challenge champion, so obviously I'm voting you in, raises eyebrows to me with Ashley and CT. Mm-hmm. But luckily, Jeremiah and Amber are going to go home, so it doesn't really matter how they deliver this news.
Yeah, I don't know if Logan's rationale was trying to be like funny and cutesy, like, oh, let's have the lovers work together. So best case, you know, if they win, they stay in the game. And if they lose, they go to the honeymoon together. Like, I don't know if that was like a joke rationale, because it's really like not the best rationale. Usually you would think you would want them on opposite teams, so you're like splitting up a pair. But I don't know. It was funny.
Patrick M says, was this the hardest elimination ever? I legitimately can't think of a more difficult one. And I just did rewatch. This may be a Brian question, is what Patrick said.
Well, definitely not a Brian question, but I did think the elimination...
Have you addressed... I found this out for the first time yesterday, that you have stopped your rewatch. I don't think you've addressed it on pod.
I said, like, one of the seasons just, like, killed it. It was, like, final... I don't know. Not Final Reckoning. It was one of, like, the newer age ones. I was like, I can't get through this. This stinks. And it kind of just, like... And I tried to, like, jump ahead to a new season, and I was like, it's done. It's over.
This is tragic, because, like, you're saying the seasons, like, we've been podcasting about, you just couldn't get through.
Well, if I jumped ahead, like, a couple more seasons, I probably would have started enjoying it more. But there was a stretch where I could look back to see exactly which season killed it. But there was one where it was just, like... I think it was Bloodlines, and then whichever season after that I couldn't get through, it was also traumatically bad. I think it was Rivals 3 was so bad. And then I was like, I just, you know what? It was a fun journey, but now it's over.
So after I watched the aftermath, I just kind of like let YouTube go, and I was like cooking and whatever. And so they were, I, you know, you could just tell I'm in the kitchen and I could hear like, oh, Banana's backpack is on. Like, you could just tell from the audio. But one of the things that happened was like a compilation of eliminations from Bloodlines. And it is wild. Like, I know you just watch Bloodlines, but if you had asked me for $1 million mm-hmm. to tell you who Christina's bloodline was, Yeah. I would still be paying back my student loans on law school because I would not get that in a million years. No. Now I know Emily, but I don't know the relation to her because that
I think it was her sister.
Looks nothing like her.
Pretty sure Anissa cousin was there. I think it was her cousin.
It was wild.
Yeah. I mean, the best. The only two good moments from that was Jenna fighting with her sister or cousin about the bakery and the dad in jail, and then. There was an iconic thing where Dario celebrated, or I think it was his brother Rafi celebrated too early during elimination and ended up losing it because of it. That was it. Other than that, skip it in your rewatch.
Both of those things even I remember.
Yeah. But I guess one elimination comes back to my where I think they ended up having to adjust it. I think it was between Kara. It might have been Kara and Naya, where they were like attached to the rope and they had, it was like strapped to them. It was basically tug of war and they had to reach to a bell. I think that one lasted, like, I think it might have been like 5 or 6 hours. And like Naya like broke her shoulder. And like going forward, they had to like drastically change how the elimination was done because there was clearly something like didn't work right. So that was probably one of the more grueling ones compared to this. Even the one they did last week where they had to, you know, go up one of the triangle beams seemed pretty tiring. The eliminations have been pretty hard this season, I will say.
I mean, look, it's so hard for us to assess the difficulty of this elimination compared to others. Like, did this look like the most difficult one? Absolutely not, right? Like, nothing looks physically difficult about it, except that they're constantly saying, this was impossible, this was difficult, this was the hardest thing I've ever done. So,
And it was 3 hours. Speak to that. That was, yeah, 3 hours is a long time to be doing that. Because conceivably, if you'd be able to do it quickly, I would imagine it wouldn't take more than like 20 minutes. But so the fact that really shows how many times they fell over.
Who were you rooting for here?
You know, I was very torn. I think I was rooting for Corey and Patina just because I think I was over the Amber stuff and Jeremiah didn't really bring much. And we're getting a little bit more from Patina. So I think I was leaning towards Corey here, Corey and Patina.
I was rooting for Corey and Patina so hard. Like, I want to respect Amber more than other people do on the season. And I do. And I think she'd be a formidable contender as they go on. But I picked her first in my draft. I picked Jeremiah in my draft. I actually also had Corey in my draft. So this was going to be lit for me regardless. Mm-hmm. But as I was watching, I thought I had Patina too for some reason. So I was like, win, 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 but ding, 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 ding. But then also lose, lose, because you get points for them winning. But anyway, Amber, I'm just kind of done. And not a result of Amber. It's like I'm tired of Casey. I'm tired of everyone talking about Amber. So I'm just, sadly for her, fine to see her go so I don't have to deal with it anymore. And Jeremiah, as predicted, gave more than I thought he would, but gave nothing. So I was ready for more Corey and Bettina compared to the losers. I don't mean losers, the people who lost.
Mm-hmm. Pretty lackluster goodbye from TJ to a champion. He was like, all right, good seeing you.
And I was shocked because I thought Amber was such a good short sport, and so was Jeremiah. But like Amber was like, that was so hard. Good job. She's smiling. Allie says, does the absence of a I'm sure we'll see you again to Amber and Jeremiah seem like a bad omen?
It's not a good omen. I can't imagine we're going to see Jeremiah again. I also can't imagine we wouldn't see Amber again. I just think it was just a weird reaction for TJ to be like, all right, yeah, talk to you later.
Yeah, it's a new chome for sure because Jeremiah, I agree, he's gone, especially because him and Amber are not dating. Like, I think that would help his stock if they, still had something going or there was some big drama. It just kind of seems like Amber's dating someone else. And Amber got so much airtime this season, it would be like saying Fessy's not going to come back. Like, there's no reason to not bring her back. So it's just whatever.
Yep.
CT, kind of unlikable here. And I think that's why when you said CT's likable, and I had sort of a strong reaction, like, obviously CT is likable, but when he's like, if Bettina picks me, it's going to be short-lived. I'll make damn sure of that. Like, CT, this is like not a great look for you.
Yeah, this is like the one weakness, I guess, in his likability game in confession. He doesn't know how to react to people choosing him, who he wants as a partner. If he just had a partner, he would like be fully in like he was with Big T and like build her up. But the fact that he can like leave a partner and get a new partner, he's not good at that. He doesn't know. He needs a good PR team to help him with that situation.
So we get a bomb dropped, not a silver bomb. That's really just a ball, but an actual bomb where go ahead and rejoin the group. What were your thoughts and feelings at this moment?
I thought, wow, we mushed this again because we were convinced, well, there's no way Casey and Emmanuel are going to be paired together all season. Well, they are stuck together.
We so mushed it. We mushed it.
Unbelievable by us.
What is mushing it?
It's like when you're, if you say something's going to happen, it's like the opposite happens. It's usually like a sports betting thing.
Oh, we mushed it.
Yeah, you mushed
it. So cute. Yeah, I mean, I was frustrated because I was like, okay, I like this. They're listening, not to us, but to the universe. Like, we want to build some momentum with these pairs. We want to, I think we even suggested this maybe, like that halfway through they stop switching or something. Like, mm-hmm. we want to be invested and not just have a CT and Amber get slapped together and then they win. Like, who cares about that? But I really don't want Corey and Bettina, and thought this was good gameplay from Bettina to say, like, we're going to switch partners or we're going to keep getting sent in. I don't want it to become like a season where they can just keep sending the same people in. So I was frustrated. I wanted to see a shakeup. Allie says, next week, could there be any other result than TJ announcing that it's now an individual game?
So I've seen that floated around that, like, that's what's definitely going to happen. I can easily see it just being you're locked in your pair and Tori is going to be with whoever is the other partner, that person that lost the partner. They're paired together and this is now your pair. Like, I would say it's more likely that everyone's individual, but I would say maybe at least there's a 25% chance that everyone's now just stuck in their pair.
Yeah, my first thought was that Tori and Devin are partnerless, that they're going to become partners.
Tori and Devin, yeah.
And that's the only way you can switch is that you get sent in, you win, and you get, and like whoever's left, sorry, you lose, I guess, whatever, mm-hmm. who's ever left gets paired up. That was my first thought. And then I read the questions and everyone seems to think it's individual. That makes sense too. Which would you prefer?
I think it would be too early to jump to individual. I mean, then I think it just opens up now the vets. I don't know if they will, because they've already been shot so into Corey, but it just really opens up for someone like CT's in power. They could just go after the rookies again. At least now you have to go after a vet because there's a vet on each team, where I don't want the rookies just to be targeted again if they're all individual.
I agree. I really want the pair setting. I like the idea that you could sort of, maybe you don't get to pick whoever you want, but you can sort of orchestrate getting a new partner by advocating for your partner to be sent in. Mm-hmm. We kind of got that last season. I don't know how much of Amber and Devin that happened this episode, but I'd like to see that. I really, really hope they stay in pairs and that they're just locked pairs and we see that progress. Sarah says, which remaining rookie is set up best in the house? And does that even matter? Basically, is it inevitable that there will be no rookies in the final unless someone just wins out?
I guess I would have to say either Emmanuel. I think Emmanuel is probably set up best, right? Because he has Casey as his partner, which is obviously a very strong duo, set up well there. I think Ed's pretty well set up. I think those would be the top two, probably.
Yeah, I think Bettina's in the worst spot, right? Because the jury's out on if people like her or not. We're getting sort of mixed signals on the aftermath. Mm-hmm. I think Priscilla is someone people like and wouldn't want to go against, which is good.
Yeah, for her. Priscilla surviving this week was huge. This will now, I think people will dramatically forget what she did. And now there's so many stuff going on that I think she could really settle back into her game.
And look, it always comes down to who do you want to go in against. If you're worried that you're going to be put in, you don't want to put Priscilla in and risk that because she's a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I thought this was, while I was pissed about them taking away Priscilla's agency and power and the moves she made, it's the best case scenario for her that they're already going back to discounting her.
Yeah.
So that can only be good for her.
Yeah, it's not like she has to win a jury vote, too. So, I mean, she gets to a final win. They don't have to, like, then vote her to win. So it works out that way, too.
I'm torn because, to me, Ed is better positioned in the house. I think more people like him and would work with him and maybe are less threatened by him. Whereas everyone's, you know, we had the scene of Emmanuel, like, taking off in that challenge, like, running. Like, people think he's a beast. And he seems pretty just, like, beholden to Casey's will. So I don't think he's, like, really thinking about his own game. So I don't know, sort of toss up between him and Ed. It'll be interesting to see how these rookies continue on their journey. Mm-hmm. As we get into our Michigas, we have a question later that I'm going to ask at the end of all of our stuff. about the Black Widow Brigade, which is a game that I played in that you watched. So if you would normally jump out, but you were interested, I feel like anyone interested in that would sort of be interested in our Mishiga. So regardless, if that's something that would be interesting to you, stick around after the peep peep and the social and whatever, the drinking game. We'll talk a little bit about that, Brian, if you have some time.
Yeah, I'm all caught up. I watched the file. Ready to go.
All right. I already said we're knock, knock, knocking on five star thousands door. I think I said that 8,100 times. but let's thank some of those people. We really appreciate you. 7 miles. This is perfect. 7 minus 7 is September 30th. So thank you to JV10, Sarah Speck, Megun317, and Dupree's Gal. We really appreciate you. Again, 991 ratings. That includes our bad ratings, too. We take your bad ratings and we celebrate them by saying, we're knock, knock, knocking on 1,000 stores. So if you want to let us know how you feel about the podcast we've been doing on the best episode of the season, you could do so at robisthewebsite.com/challenge iTunes. That will take you to Apple Podcasts. We know Challenge iTunes doesn't exist, but we don't complain here, except I will complain. I don't know if you listened to NGOG yet, to the audience or to Brian, but look, a poor craftsman blames his tools. I blame myself for maybe giving poor instructions on the tweeting at Sam Moore about the merch. But when I tell you to tweet at Sam Moore about the merch, you have to pretend like it's your idea and say, like, I really want merch at Sam Moore. Not, Allie told me to say this, so I'm saying this, so that Sam Moore texts me and says, is this something you want? Question mark. You did not understand the assignment, but that's on me. But thank you to the people who, like, put their energy into that. It was very fun.
Yeah, it's a strategy 101. Make it think that it was their idea that they came up with. Don't say it's your idea. Gives away all your cards.
It was not. It was not great. It's not great. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. We're not any closer to merch, basically.
Like Nelson's social game this year. Not great. Eh, it's okay.
All right, let's talk about a drinking game. I'm actually excited. Speaking of merch, I have a drinking game related to merch.
So we had 25, and to quote Kyle, give me a break. So I guess he followed suit, and it was obliteratedly drunk last night.
Kyle, do you hate watching the show now? Like, has it ruined the show for you? 'Cause I'm just curious.
If you're miserable doing this, Kyle, like, let us know.
Also, can make it up. We won't know. We don't audit you. I mean, Brian does sometimes, but we won't audit you.
Right. Two mentions of the Veteran Alliance. Well, I'm about to audit him because there was no eating, but there was an amazing scene of Emmanuel eating cereal while doing yoga, which wasn't included. So I think that's a drink, Kyle. Just saying. But again, I'm not auditing. Two mentions
of the Veteran Brian, you're fired.
Two mentions of the Veteran Alliance.
I don't know if I can fire you, but you're fired.
There was one blurring.
Just interrupt. I actually know I can't fire you, but I don't know. I said I don't know if I can fire you. I cannot fire you, but you're fired. Okay, back to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Two, Kyle's teeth being flashed around. Seven slow motions. One, spy music.
Slow motion for me. Okay.
Two bitch watches, the mirror thing, and him standing around while Amber and Ashley talk about being winners. I didn't notice him in the background. That's a good catch, actually. I didn't notice that one. Six headbands.
That's why you're not in charge of this.
I know. I said good catch. What's the headband one? Just anytime someone's wearing a headband?
It's like, it's headwear, so I feel like he counted the bucket hats.
Oh, got it. Okay. And then
how many did we get for that?
Six.
Oh, bing, 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 bing.
Yeah, big time. And then four times Corey and Nelson were on camera together. So 25 for this week.
That bucket hat scene was like drink, 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 drink. And I'm going to make it worse because my rule this week, and I think it's a rule when I first thought of it, was like, okay, this won't make Kyle hate the show and hate us. This will happen once in a while. It'll be like a fun, like, boom, one. I'm not trying to be like, anytime you see fire, make it 500. Mm-hmm. But then it happened three times in this episode. So at least that I saw, since I was paying attention, who knows? Anytime you see challenge and or MTV merch that is not standard issue uniform. So Ashley was wearing a challenge sweatshirt. It's obviously Corey's effing amazing MTV Challenge bucket hat that made me think of this. I would wear that. I'm not young. I don't wear the bucket hats, but like I lived for that bucket hat. So someone could send me that link. I would appreciate it. Cause I will buy that. But then Corey also had a second hat that said the challenge in the black on black of regular baseball hat. And then Ashley had this like crop sweatshirt. So any challenge merch, let's add that.
Okay. I'm going to add anytime anything from a prior season is mentioned. An action from a prior season is mentioned.
Do we need the flashback or just the mention?
Just the mention.
All right. Beep, beep. I'm very excited to talk about what our DDs have for us this week.
Big week for our squad led by you this week.
If you were worried about my ability to pick losers, was the week.
Big week for you. You got 2 points each for Jeremiah and Amber B for losing their eliminations. You did lose one of them for Corey winning it, but that's still a big net positive. And you gained a point for Emmy for no confessionals. So a good 4 points for you this week. And the only other
I almost doubled my score.
Yeah, you're now at 8.5. So big week for you. The only thing else was Bettina losing her point for winning the elimination for Scally. So right now, four, and then me and Matt LaGuardia had nothing happen this week. For the totals, we are now at 29. Matt and Scally are at 25.5. We have taken the lead. Giddy up.
I just want to ask Matt and Scally, how does that taste, friends? Ooh, love it.
Go ahead.
As you say, last year we're kicking ass and then we lost in the end. This is our time. We are rising from the ashes like a phoenix with a more fair scoring system. And we're taking this. We're taking this, Brian. Yeah,
I believe. I'm always torn if there's a challenge winners edit, but I have noticed there's now been a couple of scenes that they've tossed in for Tori, especially recently. Like there was one scene here where for no reason at all, they cut to her thoughts on the elimination where like, oh, I'm so happy. No matter what, a strong player is being eliminated. That's great for my game. I filed that one away for a potential Tory winner at it, just giving her some extra screen time, talking about her game. Keep an eye on that. See if it keeps coming up.
Interesting. I thought you were going to say when Ashley comes to her and says, like, I'd be fine running a final against you. Like, it would be close between us, but we would both lose to Amber. Yeah, it hasn't been Tori's most likable season, but it hasn't been her least likable season, so.
Yeah, maybe she bottomed. I think she might have bottomed, and she's like, coming back up. She's recovering on the hatred scale. She's coming up towards likable again.
Who has Tori in the draft?
I believe Scally.
I like that.
Yes, Scally.
All right, let's get to the social meds. Thank you to Digital Communications Manager Megan Elizabeth. And thank you to Kate, Matt, and Stuart for your tireless efforts.
Thank you, as always. Killing it.
The draft. All right. So a lot of soch from our fair challengers. So this is interesting. Megan put this in our group chat that Corey said he wants to come on the challenge. And it's a picture of him and this dude named Bryce Hall. And Megan ran down tried to figure out who this was. According to the replies, the guy with Corey in the picture is a TikTok influencer, but I have no clue who he is. Do you know who this is?
I've seen him on some TikToks. He's part of like the Charlie D'Amelio crew.
Okay. I don't need literally 16-year-olds from TikTok on the challenge. That's where I draw the line.
Yeah. I don't think he would do it. I think they would love to have him.
You don't think he would do it?
No, he's bigger than the challenge. He probably has like, I would say 20 million TikTok followers. I think maybe even more than that.
So that's interesting. It's like, but he would definitely grow from the challenge.
I don't know. I don't think it would move the needle much.
Because saying it would be like 2 months of forgoing making content.
If I open up TikTok, I feel like the sound's going to come through. Do you hear that? Okay. Well, I'm looking him up.
I mean, you look at TikTok, I'll keep reading. Ashley said, one thing that hits me hard is the people saying how much they love me, how they are glad I'm near them because I keep them laughing and smiling so quickly, like act like I'm just a threat and not a friend in interviews. That hurts so much. Literally, very few people can understand. Everyone checks in on me. Everyone checks on me after the show. During the show, personally, tell me I love you, girl. Then vote B, or even worse, talk bad about me at interviews. I'm not sure many persons have ever felt that weirdness. I mean, that's true. Like, Nelson is laying so hard into her. Like, forget that they're friends. Like, he's seen her naked. Like, have some level of, like, respect. Like, there's, he comes so hard at her about, like, personally, and then is like, well, no, you're a totally different person outside of the show. And Ashley's like, well, I'm just sitting here.
Yeah, especially when it's not, like, I get it's your friend, but it's not even, like, your life on the, they're not coming for you. It's not, like, between you and her where you have to just try to do whatever you can to save yourself. It is, it's, I mean, it's just, it's Corey. It's not you. There's no reason to go that deep. So I checked the, so what I said 20 million, right?
Yep.
So that was pretty close. 21.1 million on TikTok, 7.8 for Instagram.
All right. Well, good. We're mutually aligned then that he'll never be on. I don't want him to be on. He doesn't want to be on. So Ashley said, so there's a few things. One, Amanda would never let me give her money, even if I tried. Two, I never gave her a gift card. Three, she did it for me and Hunter. Four, she didn't choose that I didn't split it with Hunter. Four, again, Zach would steal it anyways. Okay. I did give a bunch of gifts for Avani's birth for a few different ages. That to me was weird, like to say, like, oh, she gave a bunch of gifts. Like, yeah, she's your best friend. Like, I have a birthday gift from one of my friend's kids here. Like, that's what you do. It's not because they did anything for me. Anyway, she said, if Amanda needed anything, a vote, money to bury a body, she already knows. Love heart emoji to steal from the circle. I'm always here. Here comes Amanda to speak for herself. Ha 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 ha. Corey and Bettina's face when TJ said, go back to the group, LMAO, like, nah, you guys don't get any power. Sorry. Tilted laugh cry emoji times four. Bruh, Nani and effing beast, pound emoji. Corey's working with a rookie over Josh, dot, 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 monocle emoji. Josh, how many wake-up calls do you need to see he ain't your friend? Emoji. I don't know if the mic picked that up. Okay, I'm finally watching. Why the F didn't they show Kyle's face plant into the mud and lay there like a dead pig? I'm so annoyed they don't ever show the funny stuff. Eye roll emoji. Emoji. Here's Wes. If an NFL game is a blowout, you tune it out until it gets better until the next game. That doesn't mean anything is wrong with the game, players, or league. The challenge this season has been a blowout, and a blowout is no longer. It is no longer. It's back and really effing good.
I think that's okay. Fair. That was a long, very long winded way to say it was a good episode, but there you go.
Nelson says, if I didn't make that decision giving Logan the ball, Logan and Ed, in all caps for some unknown reason, would have teamed up against me. We were playing patty cake before the war broke out. Two laugh cry emojis. Damn, did I just get played by the big T? The girl with the biggest heart in the house. I don't know. Did you? We haven't. Not that we
who
saw.
Who got played by Big T?
No, this is all from Nelson.
Wasn't that from Nelson?
And then here's Priscilla. We'll leave her with the last word on the social. LOL. I did it by myself. You guys don't know how I move. Let's just get that straight. Peace sign emoji. Priscilla, we know how you move. We know you did it by yourself. And more than anything, we know how Corey moves. We know he wasn't thinking of this.
Yeah. And also, that was also very funny where I think Corey was like, oh, I'm the puzzle king. Cut the dev in. Corey completes a puzzle without touching a piece. Great accomplishment.
All right. So as promised, Kelly says, hi, Allie. Hello, Kelly. I feel like Akiva would care less about Black Widow Brigade than Brian. That's accurate. So I would love to hear you talk about it here or on any other podcast. What's up with you and DJ LaBelle Klein? Why did Josh vote for you at his last tribal council? Also, I feel like the Mitch Watch merch really should have these eyes, which is like the eyes emoji. Okay, cool. Tweet at Sam about your merch ideas, but don't tell him I told you to do that.
Right.
Black Widow Brigade, I guess I forgot I didn't mention it on this podcast. I've mentioned it on NGOG. Honestly, I confused the shows. I don't know what I said when. I played a game a year ago for 4 hours that was invented by the great Alex G. It's a cross between this game Mafia and sort of has some Survivor themes. Apparently I was aware of this. I maintain I wasn't paying attention that it was filmed and then edited and rolled out a 10 episode series on YouTube from a 4 hour game. Shout out to Alex G. he should be working in television. Mm-hmm. The quality of this, Brian, you can attest, is incredible. Like, just the edit is incredible.
Yeah, it's one of, if this, it could be on TV and you wouldn't think, like, oh, why is this on TV? Like, it was that level quality, like, cutting, the editing, the way it was spliced together. It was a great storytelling. It was, shout out to Alex. It was a very, very, very well done production.
If you are interested in listening to podcasts about this, there's a podcast on, I believe it's called the Silent Podcast Network. That's where Sasha and Chappelle talk about Never Have I Ever, and a lot of good stuff happening there. So Grace and LaTanya and Matt talked about it there. So there's three podcasts, and then also Alex is being interviewed by Matt. So there will be four podcasts again about this 4-hour game that took place in October of 2020. I don't know, spoiler alert, not spoiler alert, whatever, like, get into some altercation throughout the entire episode, like episode arc with DJ LaBelle Klein, who is an RHAP contributor. And I told Brian, like, if, and people don't ask, like, oh, would you be on reality television? Like, someone's trying to cast me, but just in this community, I feel like people ask just like, oh, would you ever want to do that? So one of us between me and Brian has applied for Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't me. and I said to Brian, like, the next time anyone asks that, it's like, not only no for just so many reasons, but I couldn't even not be a huge B. In a 4-hour game, imagine me like starving on an island. I don't know what people want to know. What were your thoughts on watching it?
It was very fun. It was, you know, it was very similar to Mafia. So it's like very, you know, the same tribes, of, you know, the group of people trying to vote people out. There's a lot of other different rules, though, which made it fun and complicated. But I think for like a new season going in, knowing what all the characters were would be a lot of fun. But it was very fun to play along. Like, I didn't know for the most part who was bad. I thought, I mean, there was a good sense there was still a lot of bad people in as the game went on. My main focus was I was trying to suss you out the whole time. But I was felt good you were bad because you did a lot of like the things that I've seen you do when you're bad before. But you've also done those things where you were good before. So I was like, I don't know. At some point I was like, I'm just going to give up trying to guess and just try to watch. It was very fun. It was a great game. Very entertaining. Everyone did very well. Again, it was just such a well done production. It really felt like I was watching a TV show every 3 days on YouTube. So I can't say anything better about it than that.
Yeah, if you want to check it out, it's on YouTube. It's all there. You can, very bingeable. Why did Josh vote for? Honestly, I don't even know. That's what was so crazy is like I honestly didn't remember my role. I knew if I was bad or good, but everyone has a specific role. I did not remember my specific role. I didn't remember who was bad. Like I did not know if Jordan Kalish was bad or good until the episode that everyone finds out who was bad. I didn't know when I was lying. Like I was screaming at myself in the television. So it's very funny to watch yourself back a year later. When you'd never expected to see that.
Well, wait, no, you know, Jordan was bad. You just didn't know how bad.
No, I did not. Well, you spoiled it, but I did not remember that Jordan was bad. Because what Alex G is going to tell you in the third podcast that did not, or the fourth podcast that did not come across in the game, is there were like, let's say there were 15 players, there were like 18 roles. So like, and he didn't include this in the edit because it didn't become like important. But that's why like nobody's ever really sure when they should say a role. Because if everyone came out as a role, the bad people would know who wasn't in the game. And then you can claim a role that's not actually playing. So there's, normally in Mafia, and people are probably bored, but this movie warned you, it's the end of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like in Mafia, everyone knows what the roles are in the game. So if you claim it, unless the person is dead in the game, they will counterclaim you. But in here, there were extraneous roles. So including the brigade, I believe, Alex will have to correct me on this, but my recollection was that there might be 5 people in the game or there might be 4 people in the game. So when I was watching it, I didn't know if I thought Jordan was not in the break.
That's wild.
So it was pretty funny. So it was cool to watch. It was like, I was surprised. I didn't remember who won. So that was cool to see. And yeah, nothing is going on with me and DJ LaBelle Klein. As far as I know, it was just a game. And I actually think what's really fun about it is that the people who are eliminated aren't just eliminated. Like, they are on the edge of extinction. So
yeah,
DJ LaBelle Klein, to his credit, had a huge impact in the game throughout. And he was, spoiler alert, the first person eliminated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was cool that there was everyone was around and, you know, causing impact, causing chaos, doing whatever they could do throughout the whole game. So if you have a favorite that you are pissed got voted out early, they are there all the way to the end.
And last night, when we were watching Survivor, Alex Forstenhauser was like, why did you do half the things you did? And I was like, dude, we didn't understand how to play the game. So I played it a lot like I would play Mafia. As you're saying, you've seen me do a lot of things I would do when I was bad, when I was good. I played it exactly the same way because, to be completely honest, we got like a 30-page dossier on how to play the game, and I just didn't have time to read it. And like, everyone gets better at these games as they play. Mm-hmm. So I think Alex is going to try to run some more games, and I would be very happy to play again. But anyway, it's there if you're interested. And if not, you can just, you know, rate and review us and stick with the challenge. Happy for that to be the case, too.
Yes. But I would definitely recommend it. It's a very, I think, was it 10? It was 10 episodes, you said, right? They're each about a half hour. So spend a nice, you know, weeknight, rip through it. You'll have a fun time.
Knock, knock, knocking on 1,000's door.
And leave us a review while you're doing it.
Until everyone thinks about that song.
Oh, man. All right. Anything else?
Let's get out of here.
All right. You
hour
can subscribe.
And a half in.
Rob is website.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian with an I underscore. And they can follow you and check you out where?
At Lash Tweets. And you can listen to NGOG at anchor.fm/newgirlOldGuy. We had the great Sasha Joseph on to talk about the season 2 finale of New Girl. And next week we'll be covering, it won't be New Girl, Old Guy. It will be Good Girl, New Guy. We're talking about the Zooey Deschanel vehicles of the Good Girl and the New Guy. And can't wait for that.
Love it.
Why do I waste my time in this way?
For the people. For the people. And we'll be back for the people next week for episode 10. Until then, have a good one.